our reading and our contemplation, let us have a laugh at the expense of religion. There's a little truth. You sleepers know who you are, and so do I. Yes, I can mess up electronic stuff. I have a little bit of silliness. I probably won't hurt you if I get loose. Religion, often so earnest and unfunny, provides great material for joking. Now, I have to make a brief but extremely important qualification about all humor I'm talking about this morning. Humor that is cruel, malicious, or diminishing of others is not funny and should go away from all discourse. One of the most unfunny things of all of human history is religious warfare. Religion at its highest calls us to love, to compassion, to listening to others' views. And alas, we all know that we humans who practice religion can be hidebound and impossible. So there's a tongue-in-cheek religious war supposedly waged on the reader boards of a Catholic church and a Cumberland Presbyterian church. It gives us a break from the very real pain of dogmatic religious difference. For it starts with a Catholic reader board that says, "All dogs go to heaven." The Presbyterian one says, "Only humans go to heaven. Read the Bible." These are like across the street from each other. "God loves all his creations, dogs included. Dogs don't have souls. This is not open for debate. Catholic dogs go to heaven. Presbyterian dogs can talk to their pastor." "Converting to Catholicism does not magically grant your dog a soul. Free dog souls with conversion." "Dogs are animals. There aren't any rocks in heaven either." And finally, "All rocks go to heaven." This might not have been the best sermon in the world for somebody with a cough. And here's one that takes aim at the human tendency to take oneself too seriously, which is a tendency that can be found in many ministers. The minister begins, arms upraised, rapturous look on his face. "Dear Lord, without you, we are but dust." And a little girl's voice pipes up from the pew over there, "Mommy, what is but dust?" That's about as racy as I can get. We can see how religion can turn into jokes. It makes us see our fallibilities. It's not just capital F fundamentalists who are fundamentalists. And recognize the unexpectedness that turns seriousness into laughter. But what makes some of us claim that laughter in and of itself can be a religious activity? Think about all those laughing Buddhas, the Hindu elephant god Ganesha, whom I love, with his rollicking wisdom. The Dalai Lama breaks into hearty laughter almost every time he answers a question from one of us earnest pilgrims. If you Google religion and laughter, you'll find all kinds of writing on the subjects, including some books that look pretty serious. There's two reasons why laughter is religious. Well, there are probably lots more than that, but two I'm going to talk about this morning. One is, it brings us together in peace and goodwill. And the root of the word religion means to bind together. I'll bet that 25% of the people in this room are suffering from a terrible loss or struggle of some kind. And the rest of us are at least worrying about one thing or another. As Lisa pointed out, laughing doesn't take away our woes, but it binds us in shared smiles or grins or guffaws. Comforting the afflicted, that age-old function of religion. God is best known in the faces and the voices and the touch of our fellow human beings. It is religious to be together with open hearts, even when the tie that binds us is laughter. Now, the second reason that good laughter is religious is that it can poke at us a little, causing us not to take ourselves quite so seriously, afflicting the comfortable, which is that other function of religion. A realistic humility, not sackcloth and ashes like that, but a realistic humility is one of the things that a spiritual practice does, that religion should do. Humor can help remind us that the most important things are unknowable and that we and our concerns are pretty small parts of the cosmos. As I told you earlier, I went to the doctor on Friday, across town from my house, not the clinic I usually go to, near the mall. I arrived at 2:30 to be informed that my appointment was at 3:40 and that I had been told the wrong time. I didn't take it out on the receptionist too badly, but I was very mad. Those of you who remember the complaint-free sermon last week, I had gone 4 whole days without a complaint, and I had to switch this thing. So I got in my car, and I headed for the Starbucks at Franklin and Milwaukee, stewing mightily. Then I thought, I've been reflecting on laughter for days, and now I'm in a funky state of taking myself really seriously. So I made up a game, looking at places besides Starbucks where I might profitably while away an hour. Toys R Us. I bet I could find some cool things to play with in there. Cabela's. Never been there. Maybe I could be a bow hunter. But I haven't been much of a sportsman since I got a single shot 22 for my 12th birthday, and the birds that I went out for stayed pretty safe. Jenny Craig. Hey, I suppose they could take all that 15 pounds in 40 minutes? Maybe. And then I saw Hooters. And I thought, well, that would certainly be an interesting way to while away the time. So I did end up at Starbucks. But my goofiness, all by myself in the car, had rid me of the notion that a wasted hour of my life was a matter of high importance. I so need reminders that I am not the big cheese. The big cheese is part of forces way, way beyond my knowing or control. Here's a joke that also reminds me of this lesson. There was one Sunday morning, and a wife went in to wake up her husband and tell him it's time to get ready for church, to which he replied, "I'm not going today." And she said, "Why not?" He said, "I'll give you 2 good reasons. They don't like me, and I don't like them." His wife replied, "Sorry, honey, but here are 2 good reasons why you should go to church. You're 59 years old, and you're the pastor." You laugh. Laughter is good. Laughter is one way of being religious. So let us spend the rest of our sermon time together being religious. Here are some examples of 2007 headlines that I devoutly hope reminded their composers that they, the writers, are indeed fallible. "Something went wrong in jet crash," expert says. "Local high school dropouts cut in half." Pretty tough. "New study of obesity looks for larger test group." "If strike isn't settled quickly, it may last a while." And this one, which is right up on the borderline of pulpit humor. "Panda mating fails, veterinarian takes over." Returning to religion, this time Unitarian Universalism specifically, Jokes about our faith reflect our virtues back to us in funhouse style. We pride ourselves on our rationality, our critical ability, our refusal to accept predetermined holiness. There's supposed to have been a sign at a church, a UU church, that read, "Bible study after service today, bring your own Bible and a pair of scissors." Interestingly enough, Thomas Jefferson, who was a Unitarian, did exactly that. We tend to pride ourselves on not accepting anything unquestioningly. We're often the ones with question authority on our car bumpers. And there was a visitor to a Unitarian Universalist church. The visitor sat through the whole sermon with growing unbelief at the heretical views that were being spouted. After the sermon, you asked the visitor, "How'd you like it?" And the visitor said, "I can't believe half the things that minister said." The UU said, "Oh, good, you'll fit right in." That might have some truth, too. And, of course, if we're critical, rational, always questioning what is being said to us, we're certainly not going to fall into any of that over-emotional stuff that other faiths fall into. Heaven, you should excuse the expression, forbid that we would allow ourselves to be moved by something as a rational as spirit. There was a Sunday morning service in Boston, a big church in Boston. And a man was making a ruckus in the back pews. And after every single sentence that the minister spoke, the man back there was saying, "Amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah." So one of the ushers approached the man and said, "Sir, we just don't do things like that here." The man said, "But I got religion, I got religion." And the usher said, "You didn't get it here." I would like to make a parenthetical remark to newcomers today. Please don't be too alarmed. Okay? We do, in fact, have our share of mystics and others who understand religion to partake of emotion and mystery. I'm one of them. Okay, moving away from religion into other areas of mystery, can you think of anything more deeply, deeply spiritual, humanly divine, divinely human, than birth? And here's a slightly offbeat take on it, which lets us know that it can also be funny. This is a second grade teacher relates this story. "I've been teaching now for about 15 years. I have two kids myself, but the best birth story I ever know, the best birth story I know is one that I saw in my own second grade classroom a few years ago in a show and tell. One day, this little girl, Erica, very bright, very outgoing kid, takes her turn and waddles up to the front of the class with a pillow stuffed in her sweater. She holds up a snapshot of an infant. 'This is Luke, my baby brother, and I'm going to tell you about his birthday. First, Mom and Dad made him as a symbol of their love. And then Dad put a seed in Mom's stomach, and Luke grew in there. He ate for 9 months through an umbrella cord." She's standing there with her hands on the pillow, and the kids are watching her in amazement. Then about two Saturdays ago, my mom starts saying and going, "Oh, oh, oh, oh," and Erica puts her hand back like this, and she's walking around. She walked around the house like this for a whole hour. "Oh, oh, oh." So my dad called the middle wife. She delivers babies, but she doesn't have a sign on the car like the Domino's man. To lie down in bed like this," and so she lies down with her back to the wall, as you can imagine. "And then, pop, my mom had this bag of water she kept in there in case he got thirsty. It just blew up and spilled all over the bed, like, Then the middle wife starts saying, push, push, and breathe, breathe, and they start counting, but they never even got past 10. Then all of a sudden, out comes my brother. He was covered in yucky stuff that they all said came from my mom's play center, so there must be lots of toys in there. And when he got out, the middle wife spanked him for being crawling up there. Then Erica stood up, took a big theatrical bow, and returned to her seat. I'll close today by returning to our faith. You may have asked yourself and asked by others the important existential question: how many Unitarian Universalists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, there are many equally valid paths to luminescence. But there's only one way to buy the light bulbs and pay the electric bills. We will now collect the morning's offering.